glad to see all of you here this morning. Hey, I wanted to mention that next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. It's my absolute favorite Sunday of the month. Yeah, Sunday of the month. So don't forget, if you have not taken that next step for water baptism, come next Sunday after second service, and we will love to celebrate baptism with you. We'll have everything you need, shorts, shirts, you just bring yourself. So we're starting this new series called Church Hurt today. And let me tell you, there has been some buzz going on about this message series. There's been talk in life groups. There's been talk everywhere about this message series that's going on. Like, ooh, people are walking in here with some hurts that they might not even know that was going on. And quite honestly, if you have been in church for any amount of time, it's almost guaranteed you've experienced some type of church hurt.
Yeah.
At some time. Let's just be real. If you've been in community with other people at any time in your life, you've probably been hurt by someone. And church hurt is no different, except that you experience church hurt when you're inside the walls or in doing community with people that have the same philosophy, the same way of thinking as you do. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our head around how people who are Christ followers, who are Jesus followers doing community with us, can hurt us. And it's hard to get over that sometimes. And as we began gathering people at Hope City for the launch team to get ready to launch Hope City, it became very clear that there was a lot of people coming that had been hurt by churches, by other people in ministry. And let's be really honest here, really transparent. We were coming from an area of hurt, and we were walking in here a little hurt. We were coming from a place of pain and disappointment, and it was a little scary to us. It was a little scary to me because I didn't really want to start another church with people experiencing pain and disappointment. I just kind of wanted to have a clean start. And God really spoke to me how this is really unrealistic. That's a really unrealistic thought process, to think that people are going to come that have never experienced hurt by other people in leadership. And so instead of just ignoring it or hoping that we could prove we were different in some way, we thought, you know what? Let's address this. Let's talk about it. Let's be real. Because church hurt happens when you experience a painful situation within a church-related setting. And hurt can happen from right here at the platform. Hurt can happen in the seats with the people you're sitting next to. Hurt can happen from life groups and life groups. Hurt can happen when serving. And the things that I'm about to say today are not new concepts to Hope City. We've actually said them multiple times before, but it's easier to apply these concepts to other areas when it comes to pain caused by church and church people and church leaders, but we sometimes like to hold on to it a little bit longer for some reason, right? So sometimes it's just a little easier to hold on to hurt and pain that's been caused by people that you would expect to be leading you in your walk of faith, your faith walk. And it's easier to hold those people to higher expectations than just the other people you're doing community with. And today's message is called spring cleaning. Because before we can go into all the different areas of hurt and pain and how we deal with it, we have to realize that really when we're dealing with hurt, church hurt, we have to start by cleaning some things out and getting rid of some things. And when I look at this idea of spring cleaning, it's spring outside, like we're starting to open the windows, right? And fresh air is coming in. And Pastor Jason keeps telling me, like, there's too much pollen. Can you shut the windows? And it's a constant kind of battle in our house because I like all the windows open and all the fresh air coming through. And Jason's like, well, my allergies, it's going to bother me. And I probably caused him some hurt and some pain because I go behind his back and open the windows in our house because I love the just the freshness of spring and the new life that it brings. And something about the change in seasons from winter to spring does something within us that we're like, we need to clean some things out. We might need to get rid of some things that are really not doing us any good in our houses or in our garages. And maybe we even just need to like repurpose some things and reorganize some things. And so a couple Saturdays ago, I was going through our house and I was working in our kitchen. And I thought, man, I have some cupboards that I need to rearrange. Because when anytime Pastor Sheree comes over to my house, she goes to this one cupboard and says, these don't belong here. These glasses don't belong here. They're in the wrong place. And I kindly remind her, like, you're the one that put them there. When we moved into this house, like, you put these glasses there. And she doesn't think that's true, but I really do think that's the truth. However, she got everyone else in my household on her side, and everyone was like, yeah, these really are in the wrong place. So that Saturday, I decided, okay, I'm gonna reorganize things. I'm gonna pull things out and put things in different places. And as I was going through three different cupboards doing this, I ended up throwing away items that hadn't used in well over a year and a half. And I realized that they were just taking up space that I really didn't need anymore. And I maybe probably didn't need it in the first place, but I just kept leaving them there, right? And so as I finished cleaning up these cupboards in my kitchen, I then went upstairs to this upstairs closet. And it's a little bit different in this upstairs closet because, when I opened it, it was a little overwhelming. Like, I can't even see what's in the back of the closet for everything that's shoved in there. And as I was going through this and this process, God started speaking to me about this message. And so I want to encourage you, as we go through this message today about spring cleaning and what that looks like and what God really showed me as I was cleaning out some things in my house, I want to encourage you that, first of all, Jesus is walking right along with us today. He's holding the trash bag and saying, all right, come on, let go of it. It's time. Let's get rid of that stuff. And he's also going to take some things and clean them up and help us find new places for them. And it's about trusting him that he knows us better than we even know ourselves. And he knows when it's time and when ourselves are ready to work on whatever comes up. Okay? So the first thing I want to talk about in the spring cleaning in this area of my own house was this. I got to this upstairs closet and I realized before I could go any further, I had to completely empty it. I had to take everything out and start from scratch and go back to a plain empty closet. Because sometimes there's things hiding in the back that we don't even know is back there. We open up our closet door and all we see is what's right in front of us, which might be ugly. But really what we really have to get to is what lies beyond that first layer, right? And so the first thing we have to do is just take everything out. And really this concept is something that in the book of Genesis chapter 16, I think this story highlights this concept better than any other story in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 16, we come across Abram and Sarai, who were very old in their years. Abram was about 100 years old. Sarai was about 90 years old. And God had spoken to Abram and told him that he was going to give Abram a son through Sarai. And that Abram was actually going to be the ancestor of countless generations and countless people. Okay? Now, how many of you have been given a promise by God and are like, yeah, I know how I can help you make that happen, God? Right? But come on, I've been there where God's spoken some things, or you know, I've heard his voice speaking to me, and I was like, oh yeah, I can easily see how I'm gonna make this happen for you. Because you know, God needs my help, right? And that's kind of the boat where Sarai found herself in. Because as God spoke this promise to Abram and he shared it then with Sarai, Sarai's like, Abram, dude, we are old. We are old people. Like, this womb is 90 years old. It does not bear children anymore. But I bet I know what God was talking about. Because, you know, I have this servant Hagar, and she's much younger than I am. And she's much more capable. And I bet, Abram, if you just take Hagar as another wife or as your mistress, then you can get her pregnant, and then God that son could be the one that carries on your name. And Abram, being the strong, like, man of God that he was, and like just full of faith in God's promises, he looks Sarai in the face and he's like, Sarai, I'll do that. No problem. Yeah, you got it. Let's go. Let's do this. And he completely buys into this plan and gets Hagar pregnant. And how many of you know that was not God's plan? That was not, God did not say, Abram, I'm going to give you a son that will be yours and Sarai's, but it's actually going to be through Hagar. He just said, I'm going to give you and Sarai a son. And so Hagar's now pregnant with this child that was not God's plan for this family necessarily. Not saying that the child is a mistake and God doesn't have a plan for him. It just wasn't his plan on this, how to act out this promise. And so Hagar finds out that she's pregnant, and in turn, she uses it as a way to like mock and scoff Sarai and like put, kind of just throw it right back in her face. Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do about it? No, I'm not gonna wash the dishes. I'm carrying your child. And I'm adding my own paraphrasing there. I don't really know what the conversation is. We just know that Hagar said some things to Sarah that were not respectful, that were not honoring. I don't know exactly what they were. Okay, I'm just putting those words out there. And Sarai, like the godly woman that she is, yeah, well, she beat her up. She was like, listen here, and bam! Hagar got smart with Sarah, and Sarai beat her up. And then Hagar decides, I can't stay here. I'm not going to stay around and be treated like this. And she runs away. And as she's running away, this is where we're going to pick up. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, it says this: the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. Now, I want you to know, anytime in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi where we see the angel of the Lord there, it's talking about Jesus. Okay? This is how important people are to him. The angel of the Lord, Jesus, before he actually came to earth as a human, was born as a human, the angel of the Lord shows up for Hagar. Jesus shows up and he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, notice, Jesus already knows who she is. He knows who she is. It's not like he's like, hey, hi, what's your name? Hey, what's going on? He says to her, listen, I know who you are. You're Sarai's servant. And where are you going? Where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered. So a couple of things here, okay? It says this. Number one, Jesus told Hagar to return. Go back. Go back to your mistress, Sarai. Go back to the very thing that has caused you pain. Okay? He's going to ask us to go back. And not only that, he said, and submit to her. He's saying, Hagar, I know it's not going to be easy. I want you to go back to that place that caused you pain. And I want you to take any responsibility of the situation that belongs to you. Whoa. Listen, when we feel pain and we feel like we've been wronged in a situation, it's really hard to take responsibility sometimes on our part. But something that God has taught me is when something is said to me of how I've offended someone or how I've hurt someone or how I've made someone feel, I've just learned to be like, all right, what is my responsibility in this? And what did I actually do to cause that situation? Okay? So just take responsibility for it. But notice, he said, you return, and he said, I'm going to go with you. I will surely multiply your offspring so that they can't be numbered. He's not just saying, go back, Hagar, I'll meet you back here when you're done. He's like, let's go back together, okay? Jesus knew exactly what Hagar was doing. He knew what she was running from. And as much as he knew that about Hagar, he also knows what's in the very back of your closet. He knows what's in the very back of our closets. And he asks us, hey, before we can do anything and decide anything about anything in here, we gotta take it all out. Listen, this closet up in my upstairs area, when I opened it up, it was like full of stuff that I saw like, I don't know that I can get rid of any of this. It all has uses. There's things in here that maybe I didn't put here, like, you know, from my kids' rooms that they decided, I don't want this in my room, I'm just gonna shove it in this closet. And so things are put in there haphazardly. And really, I had to pull everything out to see everything that was in there. And before we can move any further in cleaning up some things, we gotta go back. And we gotta make sure that we can see the whole picture and trust Jesus that he's walking with us. But the second thing that we have to do is this: clean off what cannot be discarded. And here's what I found as I was pulling stuff out of this closet, because things had been shoved in there and put away improperly, some things had actually gotten like knocked over, and maybe some cleaning solution had been knocked over, maybe the lid wasn't on all the way. And so some of it had spilled out. And what had happened was that the solution that had spilled out had become dried and slimy and sticky all over this bottle. And so when I touched it, I was like, I just need to throw this away. But upon better looking at this, I was like, that's a perfectly good bottle of bathroom cleaner. That's a perfectly good bottle. Like, why would I can't just throw that away. And Jesus started talking to me about, really, when we're cleaning out our spiritual closets, that bottle that's kind of covered with that icky stuff, it's like our memories that holds on to the pain of things that have happened to us. And they come up and they get triggered at times, right? Things get triggered that reminds you of past things and past hurts. And it comes up and you're like, ugh, I don't want that. But we can't throw memories away. They can't be discarded. It's not like when something painful happens and we just don't want to deal with it, that we're granted with some type of magical amnesia that takes all the memories away. They're there. They don't go anywhere. And then what happens is because we have these painful memories and situations that caused us pain, and they're just sitting there, then they kind of ooze out that stuff that is slimy and nasty and makes us feel bleh, when that memory comes up, like unforgiveness, like fear, anger, trauma, unholy soul ties. But we can't just throw away the bottle. We have to clean it up. Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. I've said this multiple times from right here at this place. Pastor Cherie has been up here and said this multiple times from this very place. Pastor Jason has been up here and said this multiple times from this very place. And we're going to say it again. And that is this, that you cannot move forward until we work on forgiveness. Jesus takes us back to our source of pain because we cannot move forward until we go back. We have to deal with the stuff that is making those memories and those situations painful to us. Because forgiveness is the foundation of healing hurts. It is impossible to heal without forgiveness. And how do you know if you have forgiven and if you have worked through that? Because I'll tell you how you know if you have. Is that the next time that something happens that reminds you of a past situation, there's no effect on you. It's like, huh, and moves on. And how do you know if you haven't forgiven? Because when something happens, when something is said, from the platform or in life group or in our dream team huddles, that makes you remember some type of past situation where a church leader has disappointed you and let you down, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've been here before, not going back, right? There's this different response, like, oh, I felt this. And as soon as we get to that place where we're like, oh, we know that there's something going on. This very thing became very real to me back last January 2020, when we were at the launch conference, when we were getting ready to launch Hope City. And we were with other church planters that were just in the same position we are. They were getting ready, and we are sitting at this round table, and we started talking about what are some things that we want to be the culture of Hope City that are very important in order for Hope City to be successful. And Pastor Jason, my husband, says, brings up growth track. And I was like, what? No. We do not need to do growth track. Obviously, if you've been at Hope City for any amount of time, you know that growth track is part of our culture. It's what we do. It's like how you find your next step of being involved in Hope City. But at that moment, at that time, what happened was when he said the word growth track, I was reminded of another person that had been in charge of growth track that actually caused me pain. Not at Hope City, because Hope City hadn't launched yet. And I mean, I could feel like my insides just up. And Pastor Jason, he's so loving and so understanding. And he says just the perfect words to help me in those moments of struggle. And he looks at me and he says, Paula, just get over it. And at that point, I was like, ugh, I'm just deflated. And then we have Pastor Cherie, who's like this, that she just puts everyone's feelings into perspective. And she says, wait. What she's saying is not about growth track at all. What she's feeling is how a person has hurt her. And because that person was over growth track makes her think of that person. So actually, Paula, there's probably some forgiveness that needs to happen there. I mean, and in that, and then, okay, Jason redeemed himself and he was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, let's pray, honey, let's pray. Yeah, let's work through this. And I actually did, like, I mean, I would love to tell you that at that moment I was like, yeah, I need to walk through forgiveness and I did, and I need to just let it go. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to. Because at that moment, it was just a lot easier to hold on to that and hold that person accountable for the pain and hold growth track accountable for the pain that that person caused. And really, as the next kind of days and weeks unfolded, Jesus really spoke to my heart. And he said, Paula, you're gonna harm Hope City for something that I never said, and for something that this program, Growth Track, never did. It has nothing to do with this, and I never said those things to you. And he really talks about how I was holding the church, which was soon to be Hope City, I was holding Hope City captive for something that Jesus had never even said. And some of you might be sitting there and you're holding the church, the Big C church in general, captive for things that were done to you that Jesus never said. Jesus never said those things. Jesus didn't do those things. People said those things. And people cause pain sometimes. And in order for any of us to move forward in what God wants to do here in Hope City, or even in our individual lives, we have to let him go back to that place and bring up those things that are holding us captive. Okay? So we have to get rid of all of that crud that's holding on to those perfectly good memories. Okay? We can't throw memories away, but what we can do with them is then, once they're cleaned off and there's healing brought to them and those people are no longer being held accountable for you, and now we need to reorganize the closet. And this is kind of what Jesus was showing me as I had taken everything out of this upstairs closet and it was kind of like scattered all over the place. There were very little things that I could actually throw away, because everything in that closet was being used for a purpose in my home. But what I could do was, number one, clean off the crud that was making things unusable. And then I was going to reorganize it and put it in a more functional places. And you know what? When we allow Jesus to take these memories, take these painful situations where people have hurt us, people have said things, maybe not even directly to us, but they've caused pain in our hearts. They've caused us pain. But we allow him to clean it up. We release forgiveness and we take church off the hook. We take Jesus off the hook because he never said those things about us. And now we have this beautiful experience. He can then take it and we start putting things back in an organized manner so that when the next situation comes up and maybe someone comes across our path that is actually feeling the exact same way we used to feel about that situation, now we have this beautiful cleaned off experience that we can say, listen, I've been there. I can help you walk through this. I know what this looks like. Let me help you. As things get reorganized, as things get put back in a more functional, proper place, all of a sudden the doors to that closet can easily open and shut. And we're able to open it and be like, oh, I know exactly what I need. Here it is. And instead of having to dig through all of the rubble to get through the useful stuff, everything we need is right there and available and organized and beautiful and functional, right? And not only that happens, but what else happens is that we hear God's voice so much clearer. Because that pain, that anger, the fear, the chaos is gone. And we're able to hear his voice so much better. I want us just to take a moment and close our eyes for just a second. And as we get ready to close up today, there might be some of you in this room, and maybe some of you out in your own living rooms or kitchens or cars that are listening to this that recognize, you know, I have a lot of stuff to get cleaned off. I have a lot of pain. But the most important thing is that I've never had Jesus walk me through anything because I don't even have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not his friend yet. He's not my friend yet. But I recognize that if I want to get through this next season without scars, without hurting other people, without running away from the very family God has brought me to, I realize that I need Jesus to walk with me. And today I want to make that decision, and I want to trust Jesus with that decision. If that's you today, everyone's eyes are closed. I just want you to lift up your hand. And if you're at home watching this, lift up your hand. Make this a personal decision right now. This is what I'm choosing. If you raised your hand with me today, we're all going to say this together. And I just want you to pray with me. Jesus, I recognize that I need you. I can't go through this on my own. There's a lot of pain that I need to be healed up from. I've also caused pain that I need to take responsibility for. And Jesus, I need you to walk with me. Not just in this situation, but in every situation. Jesus, I accept your gift of friendship. I accept your gift. And I ask you to just help me. In Jesus' name.